Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Today, not only is this Baptism Sunday, but we are kicking off a brand new series of messages here at North Point entitled Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe. How do you declutter the inbox of your life? How do you declutter the inbox of your life? How many of you ever get those emails that you just wonder, where in the world are these emails coming from? How did these people get my email address? But there's this beautiful little button that exists on all of those emails, and it's right there at the bottom, and it's called unsubscribe. And you just go to that unwanted email, and you just roll all the way down to the bottom, and you just click that button, unsubscribe. And it works most of the time. How many of you know that some of those things are a little bit harder to unsubscribe to than others? I mean, some of you have to unsubscribe and unsubscribe again and unsubscribe again. And they're like, hey, thank you for unsubscribing. We will delete you off of that mailing list. But they're like, what they don't tell you is we are putting you on another one and we're going to keep sending you the same emails. And, you know, sometimes it just gets so bad that you have to, like, call them and tell them, hey, look, I'm calling my lawyer if you send me one more of these emails. So some of them are a little bit harder to unsubscribe to than others. But you know what? I think that's a perfect picture of the issues of our life. Some are just a little bit harder to unsubscribe to than others. Some things we can just click the button one time and it's done and it's over and it's finished and we can move forward. But there's some things in life that just keep on popping back up in our inbox and we have to keep on clicking unsubscribe, unsubscribe, unsubscribe. I don't want that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to live this way. This is not the path that I want. This is not the trajectory that I'm going to go on. And we continue to click unsubscribe until sooner or later we will experience victory. And so we're going to be talking about this for the next 5 weeks. And next Sunday, Des and I will actually be in Stockholm, Sweden with our good friend, Pastor Johannes Amritzer, and our SOS church family there. And we're going to be doing a whole weekend for him, speaking in the Leadership Academy and Bible School and Leadership Seminar on the weekend, and their services on Sunday. But I can tell you, you don't want to miss next Sunday because Pastor Brandon Mitchell is going to be in the house. And man, I hope after he preaches next week that you want me to come back after that. So don't miss next week. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go and we'll begin reading in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Today, I want to talk to you about how do you unsubscribe from your past. How do you unsubscribe from your past? Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you would do what only you can do. God, touch our hearts and change us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Well, last weekend, I turned 40 years old. 40 years old last weekend. Last weekend, I turned 40 years old. And I was telling Carolina, my birthday was on Saturday, and I was telling her on Saturday, hey, now dad is 40, and that just means that I'm smarter and I'm more patient and I'm wiser. I'm just going to be a better dad. And Carolina Lee, my six-year-old, just shook her head and she said, "Nah, Dad, it just means you're getting older." You know, and when we talk about 40, people say that 40 is over the hill. Let me tell you, I'm not buying into that. I think that 40, you're just halfway up the hill, because I know that I got another 40 good years and I'm climbing all the way to the top. I'm not getting ready to go down in life. I'm still going up in life. So I'm not buying into any of the over the hill. They say 40 is the new 30. I'm backing it up. I say 40 is the new 20. Because I'm going to tell you, I feel better than I felt when I was 22 years old. I am stronger. I am healthier in my spirit, in my mind, in my emotions. And let me just say, whenever I say that the best is yet to come, it's not just a slogan that we say. It's something that I really believe. So I'm not over the hill. I'm still climbing the hill from glory to glory. God's taking me to greater and greater places. So I'm not buying into that getting old stuff. Somebody should have said amen to that. I ain't buying into it either. But I think why people talk about 40 the way that they do is that it is like you've lived long enough to look back over your shoulder and have a good picture of what your life really looks like. And as people have just made little comments to me about turning 40 over the past few weeks, and they've talked about over the hill, and they've talked about getting older, and they've said different things from a variety of different people, it's been interesting, because it is almost as if in their words and in their attitudes, I can hear and I can see that they are still carrying their past with them today. And although they might be well beyond 40, it's almost as if they are carrying their regret with them. It's almost as if they've packed up their shame and they put it in a suitcase and they are bringing it with them on their life journey. They put disappointment in a backpack and they're carrying it with them in life. They put all of their mistakes in their little satchel and they said, "I'm bringing this, I'm not leaving this back there. I am bringing this with me on the journey of life." And you can see it in people's eyes and you can hear it in their words and you can feel it in their attitudes, that what is behind them is still with them today. You know, it's an interesting thing about your past is that your past can show back up in your life early in the morning. I mean, before you even finished your Cheerios, before you have even eaten your breakfast and gotten out of the door, the inbox of your life can be filled up with all of the mistakes, all of the painful moments. The inbox of your life can be so cluttered with all the things that went wrong in your past, and you wonder why I can't have a good attitude when I get to work, or why I don't have joy in the afternoon. It's because our inbox has been bombarded before the day even got going. I see something in it. Reminds me, and I think, man, I should have never gone to that party, because if I would have never gone to that party, I would have never slept with that girl. Now, if I've never slept with that girl, my life would have never started down this trajectory. I start thinking, man, I should have taken school a little bit more seriously, because if I'd have taken it more seriously, then maybe I wouldn't be working the job that I have to work today. I start thinking about, man, I wasn't the right kind of parent. I didn't treat my kids the way that they really deserve to be treated at this issue of life. And all of these things start flooding back over us. And we start saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have had the temper that I had, because it cost me my marriage and it cost me 3 jobs. And it's like before we even get going in the day, our life is already packed full of all the mistakes and things that we wish we would have done differently. Here's the real issue with our past is it's not that we think about the mistakes, it's what we think about the mistakes. Because everybody in this room has a past, and nobody in here is going to be able to forget what happened back there. No matter if it's painful, no matter if it was your fault, somebody else's fault, it doesn't matter. We all have a past, and we can't forget it. So it's not that you think about it, it's actually what you think about it. Because what happens is when those thoughts start filling up our inbox and we remember when we failed, we then say, now I am a failure. And we start thinking about the time that we lost, and now it's not that we lost, it's that we are a loser. And we think about the time that we quit, and it's not that we quit then, it's that we are a quitter. And we let our past determine our present, and we let our past define our future for us. You see, the real issue with our past is not that it comes up in our mind. It's what do you think about it when it does come up in your mind? Because here's the truth. It was just one scene in the movie. It's not your entire story. It's just one chapter of the book. It is not the entire book. You see, don't allow one moment of your life to become the memoir of your life, because it's not your entire story. It was just a moment. It was just a scene in the movie. It was something that happened, and it doesn't have to be carried with you. So as we begin this series of Unsubscribe, talking about how do you declutter your life, you see, we have to start with our past, because it's one thing that we all face. One thing that we all have to deal with, because everybody in the room has one. We cannot allow the imperfections of our past to keep us from the perfect will that God has for you in the future. We cannot let the mistakes of our past keep us from the mission that God has for us in our future. I love Romans 12:2. This verse we probably talk about more than any verse here at North Point, but it fits so beautifully in this thought today that I want to read it to you again. Romans 12, verse 2, it says this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. I want you to notice something in that scripture. There's not a little asterisk beside the word you that you have to go down to the bottom of the Bible and look and say, oh, if you're a pastor, missionary, evangelist, full-time minister, if you were raised in church, never chewed gum, never done that, you know, you never made a mistake, never said a bad word, always honored your father and mother, never went to the wrong place, never said the wrong thing. No, that asterisk is not in your Bible. It says that God has a will for you. He's got a will for you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, that includes you. Tell him right now. Look him in the eye and tell him, that includes you. Because you need to know today that God has a will for your life. And what is his will for your future? It is good. It is pleasing. And the scripture says, it is perfect. So the imperfections of your past can't mess up the perfect will that he has for your future. It doesn't matter how bad it looks back there, it's looking good out there, because that's where God is. And he says, I have a perfect will laid out for you. So how do you get there? How is the way into the will of God? The way into the perfect will of God is that you would be transformed by God. How do you get transformed by God? You change the way that you think. And as you change the way that you think, God transforms your life. And as he transforms your life, you step into a future that you do not deserve. You step into a future that you could never earn. You step into a future that you could have never had without him. And you step into that future, and you get into that future, and you say, wow, this is good. It is pleasing, and it is perfect. You see, unsubscribing to our past, it does not just happen in the spiritual realm. It also happens in our natural world. Let me just explain that for a moment. Many times as Christians, when we think about our past, we only think about it in one context. And it is this: is my sin forgiven? It's the only context that I really think about my past. Has my sin been forgiven? Am I in right standing with God? Am I going to go to heaven? Has the sin of my past been forgiven? And that's the context that we look through. But can I just tell you this morning that just because your sin is forgiven doesn't mean that your life's not struggling. God can be forgiving your past while at the same time you're forfeiting your future. God is forgiving your mistakes while at the same time you are forfeiting the future that he has for you, because you are not being transformed. You are not changing the way you think so that you can move into what he has for you. You see, your future does not just need salvation. Your future needs transformation. Your future needs your transformation so that you can live the life that God has called you to live. Last Sunday, we talked about make a move to more because we believe that God has more for us, but we have to make a move to get to more. And Jesus said it himself. He said, I have come that you might have abundant life. It's not just about eternal life in heaven. It's about abundant life here on this earth. So how do we make a move to more? How do we get there? I can't make a move to more just because my sins are forgiven. No, there has to be another question. So let me ask you this question today. Not are your sins forgiven? Let me ask you this question. Is your soul fortified? Is your soul fortified? Let me break that down for you. What is your soul? Your soul is the center of your being. They say that your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is the real you. We are not human beings with a soul. We are actually a soul that has flesh. It is the real you. That is your soul. And when we look at the word fortified means this, to make strong. To make strong or to increase the effectiveness of. So when we say, is your soul fortified, you could ask the question this way, is your mind strong? Is your mind strong? Is your will increasing in its effectiveness in your life? Are your emotions helping you or are they hurting you? Are your emotions, are they serving you or are you suffering because of them? You see, you have to ask yourself, is my soul fortified? Because if my soul is fortified and my soul is strong, that means my mind is going to be strong. That means that my will is increasing in its effectiveness, that I'm saying no to what I need to say no to. I'm saying yes to what I need to say yes to, that my will is growing in strength and my will is becoming more effective in my life. Is my soul fortified? Are my emotions running out of control? Are my emotions serving me to get me where God is calling me to go? See, so many times we look at it in the context only in the past, or is my sin forgiven? Is my sin forgiven? But that's only dealing in the spiritual realm. That's only dealing with eternity in many cases. But it's not that. It's that, is my soul fortified? So if we would say today, you know what? I have to be honest. My soul is not as fortified as it needs to be. My mind, my will, and my emotions aren't as strong and effective as they really need to be in my life. I'm not really there. Well, then we have to ask ourselves another question, and this question is the link in between, are my sins forgiven and is my soul fortified? And that is this, is my strategy fixed? Is my strategy fixed? I need to make sure that I fix my strategy, because just because my sins are forgiven does not mean that my soul is going to be fortified. Just because you have a relationship with Jesus, that you have called upon him and that he has forgiven your sins because you've confessed him as Lord and Savior over your life and you have invited him into your life, that does not mean that your soul is going to be fortified. You see, if I don't change my process, I will never change my product. If I don't change my process, I can't change the product of my life. You see, I have to have a new strategy if I want different results, because the way that I've always thought has taken me to where I am right now. And if I say that my mind is not really strong and my will is not really effective and my emotions are out of control, then where I am right now is not my answer. And if this is not my answer, I need a new strategy so that I can get somewhere else in life. And so we have to ask the question, okay, great, your sins are forgiven, but your soul is not fortified. You have to ask the question, are you willing to fix your strategy? Are you willing to fix the strategy? Because it's your strategy of life. That's why Paul said, hey, look, don't operate according to the way of the world. Don't operate according to that old nature. Because the old nature and the way of the world and who you used to be is not going to take you to the place that God is calling you to be. So he says, you have to be transformed. You have to change the way that you think. You need to get a new strategy so that what? So you can step into the will of God, that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. But it does not happen if we do not have a new strategy. And so we're going to talk about now, what is our strategy? And at this moment, I'm going to ask all those who are being baptized, you are now dismissed from the service. And as they are leaving the service, I want to tell you that I forgot to do this in the first service. So we had almost 20 people being baptized in the first service who were supposed to be leaving the service at this time. I preached all the way to the end of my message, and I was waiting on the baptism people to come back up to be baptized. And I was thinking in my mind, I wonder where they're at. I wonder what's taking them so long. Somebody said, hey, they're still sitting out there. So I said, hey, everybody, walk fast. If you're in good health, run with all of your heart. But it ended up being absolutely amazing. But we're going to talk for just a moment now about our strategy. What is going to be our strategy? Hey, if where we are right now is not where we want to be, if who we are right now is not the fullness of who we want to be, if we know right now that we are weaker in some areas than we should be, and our soul is not fortified, and we evaluate our strategy, and we say, Philip, you're right, something needs to change for me to get to where God is calling me to go, because I'm really not living the abundant life. I'm really not living in the overflow of everything that God has. I'm really not living with abundant joy, abundant peace, abundant purpose, abundant power. It's not overflowing in my life. Okay, great. Then we need to fortify the soul. And if we're going to do that, we need to do it through a new strategy. And here in the Bible, we see this new strategy that we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to go back there as we find our new strategy. And our new strategy starts with this. It starts with His excellence. This is what the Bible says in verse 3. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you don't have an excuse. Come on, tell them. They need to hear it. You've been waiting to tell your neighbor that for a long time. This is what God says. God says, I don't care how bad your past was. I don't care how much pain is in your past. I don't care how many people hurt you in your past. I've given you everything that you need for a godly life. It doesn't matter that you didn't have a father. It didn't matter that you had a mother that said horrible things to you. It doesn't matter that you failed out of high school and don't even have your GED. God says, I've given you everything that you need to live a godly life, so you don't have an excuse. You have everything you need to live the life that God is calling you to live. It says, we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. It says, He has called you by means of His glory and excellence. Let me just tell you, the glory of God is the very essence of God. It is the very being of God. In His being is glory and excellence, or His righteousness. That is His actions. That is what He does. So He has called you because of who He is and because of what He wants to do. He called you out of His essence, and He called you out of His action. And it is by His essence and His action, it is by His glory and His excellence that He has given you precious promises. What are those promises? He gave you a promise that He would put His Spirit in you. Every person that surrendered their life to Jesus and believed in Him as Lord and Savior, He gave a promise that I will put my Spirit on the inside of you. And the out of that promise, guess what He does? He enables you to share in His divine nature. Now, you know me, and I love words, and when I see a word like enable, you know I got to break that down, because this is what God does. God says, I'm going to get in you, and I'm going to make you able. I will enable enable you. I will get in you and I will give you the ability to live with my divine nature. God says, I'm going to enable you to do it. It's an amazing thing that God saved you from yourself so that he could fill you with himself, and that by his divine power, you could live with his divine nature because of what he did, because of his excellence, because of his glory, because of who he is. And I love this about God, because God doesn't just save us from our sin. God empowers us to win. That's what I love about God. God doesn't just save you from your sin so that one day you could go to heaven. No, God empowers you to win right here on this earth so that you can build his kingdom, so that you can shine your light, so that you can be the salt of the earth, so that his message gets out there, so that disciples can be made, and so you can live the abundant life right here on this earth. It's not about you just being saved from sin. It's about him empowering you and enabling you to win at this thing called life. Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but he gives more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. He gives us more and more grace. Somebody needs to say amen. He gives more and more grace. How does he give more and more grace? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that he put inside of you through his precious promise to you. What does that Holy Spirit inside of you do? That Holy Spirit inside of you allows you to defy sin. You have victory over sin, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Not because of what you've done, but because what Jesus did on the cross and getting up out of the tomb. You can defy sin, defeat sin, and have victory over sin in your life because the Holy Spirit enables you on the inside. And guess what? You get to live an obedient life. You get to live an obedient life. How do you get all that? Through his excellence. Through his excellence. By his divine power, you have everything you need for living a godly life. It's through his excellence. But I love this here that Peter, when he's writing, he doesn't stop there. Because he says, hey, the first thing you need is his excellence. But here's the second thing you need. You need your effort. You need your effort, because this is what the Bible says in verse 5. It says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for every one. I love he says this. Hey, in view of all this, in view of what? In view of his excellence. Okay, in view of his excellence, he says, make every effort. He doesn't say make an occasional effort. He doesn't say make an effort when you feel like it. Make an effort when it's convenient for you. No, he says make every effort. Make every effort when it's a bad day and when it's a sad day. Make every effort when it's not going your way. Make an effort every single day. Make every effort you possibly can to do what? To supplement your faith. That means to add to your faith. Now he's going to say make every effort to add to your faith. You see, my faith in Jesus, and my faith in his sacrifice on the cross, and my faith in the empty tomb and in his resurrection, that will ensure that my sins are forgiven. But my effort ensures that my soul is fortified. My faith ensures that my sin is forgiven. There's nothing that I could do for my sins to be forgiven. That had to come from him. And it is my faith in him that supernaturally now I have been forgiven of my sin. But you see, if I want my soul to be fortified, Peter writes here and he says, you better supplement your faith. Hey, I'm glad you believe, but it's going to take a little bit more than your belief. I'm glad that you got faith, but it's going to take a little bit more than your faith. I'm so glad that you prayed that prayer and you invited him to be the Lord of your life. That is so great. But let me just tell you, you're going to have to supplement that. You're going to have to put something on that. You're going to have to add to that a little bit if you want to live that abundant life. If you want to make a move to more, you're going to have to do something. You say, well, what am I going to have to add? And man, I'll tell you what. He doesn't hold back. He says, here's what you need to supplement your faith with, a generous provision of moral excellence. He doesn't just say be moral. He says be morally excellent and do it in generous measure. Do a lot of moral excellence. And then he goes on and he says, hey, after that, then you need to get some knowledge. And after that knowledge, you need to get some self-control. And after that self-control, you need some patient endurance. And after that patient endurance, you need a little godliness. And after that godliness, you need a little brotherly affection. And out of that brotherly affection, you need love for everyone. I don't know what that sounds like to you, but to me, that sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like a lot of effort and a lot of energy, because he says, hey, I want you to challenge you to put the work in to be morally excellent. You know how you used to cut corners? You're not going to cut any corners anymore. You know how you used to, maybe you didn't really call it a lie, but you just fudged a little bit on what really happened, so it just tilted in your favor a little bit? He says, not anymore, because now you're going to live morally excellent. And you know how you used to watch multiple shows at night and you just did that out of habit, but now saying, no, now I need a new strategy, because what I used to do is not really taking me where I want to go. So now I'm not watching multiple shows. Now I'm actually turning off the television. I'm turning off Netflix, and I'm actually going to open up the Word of God, and I'm actually going to read the Word of God. I'm actually going to turn on and watch somebody preach the Word of God, listen to a sermon on a podcast, but because I've got to get more knowledge in me. Man, not just that, you know, I'm going to get some self-control. I'm going to stop saying yes to what I should be saying no to, and I'm going to stop saying no to what I should be saying yes to. I got to get some self-control in my life, so I'm saying yes to the right things and no to the right things. Not only that, I got to put some more effort into my patient endurance. I mean, isn't endurance enough? I mean, patient endurance, I got to be patient as I endure. Like, I thought those like kind of go together. Patient endurance, that means no matter how long it's taking longer than I thought. It's costing more than I thought. That's okay. I'm going to be patient in my endurance, because I know the promise of God is going to come to pass in my life. And so I will endure whatever I'm going through with tremendous patience, waiting on the goodness of God to show up in my life. That's my new strategy. Wow, not just stopping there. He says, then godliness. Like moral excellence wasn't enough. I mean, dude, whenever you read your Bible, do you ever just like want to throw your Bible sometimes? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just the preacher. But whenever I read, I'm like, man, okay, moral excellence was challenging enough. But now you say godliness. That means God-likeness. That means be like God in all your decisions. Be like God in all of your thoughts. Be like God in all of your attitudes. Be like God in all of your behaviors. Be like God. Add godliness to your life. Supplement your faith with godliness. Wow. Stop there. He says, hey, you need some brotherly affection. That means you need to love the body of Christ. You need to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, I know they have different personalities than you do. I know they have different likes and dislikes. And I know they may have even talked about you one time or another, but you got to have brotherly affection. And then he goes one step beyond that, and he says, and you know what? I'm not going to stop there. You got to let your love go outside the walls of this community, and you got to start loving everybody in your neighborhood. You got to have love for everyone, the people that worship gods that you don't believe in. You got to love people that have different color skin than you have. They don't talk like you. They don't look like you. They don't believe like you. And Peter said, it doesn't matter, because you got to love them anyway. You love them right where they are. You love them for just who they are. You have to love everybody. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of work to me. That sounds like a lot of effort. But you see, Peter's giving us a strategy here. And the strategy starts with his excellence. It doesn't start with your effort. Because if you start with your effort, you're going to run out of steam and run out of strength and run out of wisdom and run out of resources. And you're going to fall flat on your face. And that's why he starts this new strategy with his excellence. You cannot forget where your power comes from. You cannot forget. It comes from God Almighty. It starts with His excellence, who He is and what He can do in me and what He can do through me. That's where it all begins. It begins with His excellence, but it doesn't stop there. It starts there, but don't end there, because now I got to add my work to it. I got to add my effort to it. And when I take His excellence and I add my effort, guess what I get? I get new effectiveness. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm going for in my life. I want to be effective in this journey. And if I'm going to be effective, I need a strategy that says, God, it starts with Your excellence, but then it's also going to require my effort. And if I put Your excellence with my effort, I can get maximum effectiveness in this life. This is what the Word of God says. In verse 8, it says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. He says, the more you grow like this, the more you grow like what? The more you grow in His excellence, the more you grow in the understanding of the power that He deposited in you, the more you grow in your understanding that He put His Spirit on the inside of you, and the Spirit that is in you will enable you and empower you to do what God has called you to do. It will empower you to step into the will of God, that will that is good, pleasing, and perfect. It starts with His excellence. The more you grow in that understanding, and the more that you grow in the understanding that it's going to require my own effort. If you were hoping that you were just going to lift a hand, sign a card, pray a prayer, and you were going to get the abundant life, you'll be disappointed. Because it doesn't start with His excellence. It's His excellence that gave you the invitation. It's His excellence that invited you into relationship. It's His excellence that made what used to be impossible possible. Oh yeah, it is, but you have to grow in that next area. And you have to grow in your effort. Your effort when it comes to godliness, your effort when it comes to moral excellence, your effort when it comes to knowledge, your effort when it comes to brotherly affection, your effort when it comes to love for everyone. You have to grow in that. And if you grow in His excellence and you grow in your effort, then guess what you get to have? You get to have a productive and useful life for the Lord Jesus Christ, is what the Scripture says. Well, let's go to verse 9. But those who fail to develop in this way, those who failed to develop in His excellence, they thought it was just about one moment, just one prayer. My sins are forgiven. But they didn't realize that His excellence isn't about just the forgiving of sin. His excellence is about empowering you to live a brand new life. Those who don't develop the effort, putting in the time, putting in the energy to what He describes here. If we don't develop in His excellence and we don't develop in our effort, then we don't become effective. And He says if they fail to develop in this way, He says they're short-sighted and they're blind, meaning they don't see the big picture. They don't see it all. They're too short-sighted. They don't see everything that God wants to do. They just asking one question, are my sins forgiven? Am I going to heaven? No. God wants your soul to be fortified. God doesn't just want your sins to be forgiven. God wants your soul to be fortified. My question to you is, how is your current strategy working for you right now? How is your strategy of thinking, believing, and behaving? How is that working for you right now? Because I've got the greatest news ever. If you change the strategy, you can change the result. If you don't like what your life looks like right now in a certain area, it might not be everything in your life, but if you don't like an area of your life right now, I can promise you this, if you will get in His excellence and you'll begin to put your effort, you can begin to move to new effectiveness, and you will find that you will be more useful and more productive in Jesus Christ than you have ever been before in your life. It starts with a new strategy. And you see, I love this. That we're talking about unsubscribing from our past on Baptism Sunday, because what you're about to see in a moment is you're about to see people go under the water in these sanctified horse troughs. And they're going to go under the water representing the old, and they're going to come up into the brand new. You know, I think there's some of you this morning sitting in this auditorium and say, I kind of need to join in that tribe. Not that you're going to come up and jump in the water in all of your clothes. You can do that if you want to, but that's not what I'm saying. Some of you today are saying, hey, I need that type of experience in my life. And you say, how am I going to do that? You're going to do it by clicking a button. I'm unsubscribing from the lies of my past. I'm unsubscribing from the laziness of my past. I'm unsubscribing from the pain of my past. I'm unsubscribing from the shame of my past. I'm unsubscribing from the condemnation in my past. I'm unsubscribing from my past life, because this is what I know. God has a will for me in the future, and whatever is back there is not going to keep me from what is out there, and I will move forward because He said it. I'm not making it up. You're not making up. He said you have all you need because of His power to live the life that He created you to live. Today, you can live in abundance. Why? Because of His excellence. And if you put your effort with His excellence, you will find brand new effectiveness in your life, and you will find yourself in a place that you never dreamed was possible. Somebody with a past like yours could be making a difference like they're making. Somebody with a past like yours could have so much hope and joy in the future. Because you made a choice. I'm clicking unsubscribe right now. And I told you, some emails are harder to unsubscribe from than others. It's been my experience that we're talking about now is one of those. It keeps trying to come in, fill up your inbox. The enemy loves to talk to you about your past. You ever notice that God doesn't talk to you about your past? God always talks to you about your future. Because that's where God is. What's behind you is over and done. God's always calling you into the next season, the next phase of your life. Some of you in this place today, you need to click unsubscribe. Now, I'm not subscribing. It's not that you think about it. It's what you think about it. I want to close with this thought. Everybody has two options when the thought of your past comes up. Something that none of us can avoid. I mean, we actually did do it. We did say it. We did go there. It is a real event that happened in our life. So you can't keep your mind whenever the memory comes up. You can't prevent that from happening. But whenever that thought comes up in your mind, you always have two choices. You can have a pity party or you can have a praise party. And it's up to you. You can say, oh, me. Man, I should have never done that. Man, if I wouldn't have done that, man, this, and you can just have a pity party and you can just start spiraling down. Or whenever that thought comes up, you can just go ahead and have your own little praise party. And you can say, God, I'm so thankful that I'm forgiven. I'm so thankful that I'm free. I'm so thankful that you made me more than a conqueror. I'm so thankful today that I'm an overcomer. I'm so grateful that I'm not a slave to who I used to be, but I'm running boldly after who you're calling me to be. God, I just choose to have a praise party right now in my life, because I will not be defined by what happened then. I'm going to be defined by what you are calling me to in my future. And I refuse to have pity parties when I can have praise parties in my life, giving God glory glory and thanks for all that he is and all that he's done. I thank him for his excellence. I put my effort in it, and then I get new effectiveness in my life because I unsubscribed to my past. I want you to stand.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.